Good morning, everybody, and that is absolutely right. Christ is our champion. What an amazing day today is. Good Friday. Good Friday. Today, the Lord will have accomplished his mission. And I used to always wonder when I wasn't on my journey with Jesus, why Christians called this day Good Friday, when that was the day that Jesus was brutally put to death, tortured, murdered by those whom he loved most. And I'll tell you why. The reason why we call, now that I'm on my journey with Jesus, the reason why we call this day Good Friday is because of three little words, folks. It is finished. It is finished. That is why we call today Good Friday, because Jesus' mission was fulfilled. He did what he set out to do. KC 2022, $50 donation on Good Friday. Use where needed. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for your sacrifice and your donation of your hard-earned funds. We very much appreciate it. Three little words, folks. It is finished. Opening up an opportunity for you to go back home to heaven where you came from, to be one with Jesus, to be one with the Father. It is finished. And I love how people are saying, Jesus is my hero. Jesus is a hero's hero. All those superheroes in your children's rooms and that they watch, Superman and all that, Jesus is their hero too. I know that there's a lot of people that are not feeling so good today. But it's Good Friday. Today is when you should not allow in any way, shape, or form the devil to ruin your day. The devil is going to be working overtime today and tomorrow and Sunday more than he works any other part of the year, because the resurrection was when he was defeated. Think about that. The resurrection was when the devil was defeated once and for all. Do you remember the scene in the Passion of Christ when the devil thought he won and Christ breathed his last breath on the cross? And the devil thought he won and he sat there smiling until he realized that he'd been had, that he'd been outsmarted, that the very death that he was hoping for the Son of Man, the Son of God, was actually Jesus' mission fulfilled. I want all of you today to accept Jesus into your heart if you have not. And for those who have, I don't want you to experience a bad day today. I want you to all put a smile on your face, whether you are sick right now with a cold or the flu, whether you have been, whether you've heard bad news from a doctor, whether somebody in your family is treating you terribly, whether your job is treating you terribly. Devil hates the resurrection, and that's this weekend. So, ladies and gentlemen, happy Good Friday. I titled today's show, Religion Doesn't Work. How many people in the live chat would agree with that statement? Religion doesn't work. Somebody asked where you can get the shirt. You can get the shirt right on my website. Christ 2024. Save America. Save the world, right? That's right, Eileen. That scene is very powerful. You're right. You're right. I love this LFA family. So do I. Okay, now we're starting to get them come in. Religion is made up by men. I agree. Fact. Agree. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. T. Mitchell, Resurrection Sunday. Kitten says 100% agree. Steve Cross says, I agree. CQ says relationship. Religion doesn't work, but Jesus does. Well, ladies, oh, look at that, Eli. Stretch just gave us lunch today. Lunch on me. And then we've got a $50 donation from HMC Grady. God bless you and Eli. Please use where needed. He has risen. And a $50 donation from Miss Mocha Powered. My birthday is Sunday. I'll be celebrating Jesus on the day he's risen from the grave. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mocha Powered. Happy birthday to you. Jake gives me, religion is a distraction. Kelly, my mom ignored three of my phone calls today, but I am still sick, but I'm doing great. Beautiful sun is shining, and God is great. That's all I need. And Rachel says, this is where religion comes to die. Well, I've got a heck of a show for you guys today. So what I'm going to want you to do is open up your newsletters. I sent out a newsletter. And make sure you have your Bibles opened to Luke 11. And we're going to go from Luke 11 Give me 1 second here. Luke 11, 37, all the way through Luke 11, 54, folks. Okay? Luke 11, 37, all the way to Luke 11, 54. That is what we're going to be reading from today for our verse of the day. But getting to religion doesn't matter. I mean, religion doesn't work. Let me read for you the description of today's show. Okay? Religion doesn't work. Rise up, episode number 325. Relationships work. And if relationships work, then it can translate into a religious act that you take because of that relationship. However, religion is dead without relationships. Thank you, Sass. $10 towards lunch. Maybe we can get my Take Sabrina out with us. And that is why we call Christianity a relationship, not a religion. This is going to be an amazing topic to end our Holy Work Week this week as we remember what Jesus went through today. Okay? So please help me share this word out so we can spread the gospel, not gossip, on this March already 29th, year of our Lord, 2024. As we're approaching about 1,200 people in here, let's go ahead and give our thanks to God now by going to the Lord in prayer. Kittenhead, thank you very much. Eli, another $50 for the network. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for sending your only son. Hallelujah. And sacrificing hard-earned money, which people have very little of these days, to make sure that LFA continues. There is nothing in my heart that is more appreciative than that. Thank you so very much. Osborne says, Jeremy, my husband Stephen's birthday is Sunday as well. Stephen, happy birthday to you, sir. You've got a wonderful wife, and you're a wonderful person. God bless you. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we gather today on this Good Friday, we also know that there is none good but you. And only through your Son, Jesus Christ, do we make ourselves righteous and good because Jesus stands in that gap for us. Jesus shed his blood for our payment of sin, past, present, and future. And those three words on the cross, it is finished, is why we call today Good Friday for the good work that Jesus did for all of mankind. Lord, today is Friday, but Sunday is coming. What a wonderful time this is for Christians. Lord, let us remove our families away from what the world would have us believe Easter is. Let us move our families away from bunnies. Let us move our families away from pagan sun-worshipping gods. And let us move our family more towards Jesus, the same as we do in Christmas. Let us remind our families and our young what this day, what this week, and what this weekend is all about. You, Lord. Thank you for bringing us towards you every day. Thank you for bringing us together in fellowship. Lord, we ask that these numbers grow so that more people can hear the word of God and become righteous in Jesus' way. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kittenhead said, my heart is heavy for the price Jesus paid. How do I stop feeling this way? You stop feeling this way because of the price Jesus paid. Jesus' death on the cross is to lift your heart up and not make it heavy, but make it light and pure. You make your heart lighter by remembering those three words, it is finished. Because if those three words were never uttered, if you could go back in time and you could save Jesus from what happened to him, then you would be doing the world an incredible disservice. That's why we smile. Chris DL, $50 for LFA, $25 for lunch. God bless you all. Folks, we're about to have one heck of a lunch, Eli. We're about to have a Good Friday feast with our family members as well. You guys, thank you so much. With our kids being out of school, maybe we'll just bring a kid or two along. It's not about the bunny. It's about the lamb. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. It's not about the money. It's about the bunny. It's about the lamb. Splendor Face says, such a beautiful answer, Jeremy. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's the only thing that I know how to do is point people towards Christ when they're feeling that way, because it's the only place I can go. Jeremy, are you going to have an Easter show? No, I will not. And as a matter of fact, on Monday, my mom has her first meeting with the surgeon for her lung cancer, and she wants me to be there. So on Monday, I will be doing a Rise Up, because you know how I feel about my Rise Up show, but I will be filled in for on my Monday live from America so I can be with my mom in the hospital. So I just want to let you guys all know that right now. So please keep us in your prayers for that. I'd like to go right now to the verse of the day if I could. Now, I want you guys to open up your Bibles to Luke 11:37-54. And remember, even though I sent you the verse of the day from the ESV version, which is the English Standard Version of the Bible, I will be reading from my complete Jewish Bible. And where I need to make a translation for you, I will. And it's basically just the names in which I referred to in this Bible, like to the Pharisees and to others. The only thing that will really change is the name. Jeremy, one of our choir songs is It Finished on the Cross. That's a great choir song. Silly Rabbit, Easter's for Jesus. Oh, I love that. I love that. Jeremy, you are sounding more pastoral every day. I saw this in you long ago. Well, I guess that's a good thing, right? I guess that's a good thing. Let's go to the word. Luke 11:37. Through 54. You guys all there? Okay, here we go. As Yeshua, Jesus, spoke, a Perush asked him to eat dinner with him. A Perush in this book is just a Pharisee in your verse of the day today. So when I say while Jesus spoke, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. As Yeshua spoke, a Perush asked him to eat dinner with him. So he went in, took his place at the table. And the Perush was surprised that he didn't begin by doing, and I'll read this for you, basically, the Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not wash before dinner. Now, what that means in Hebrew is, The Purush was surprised that he didn't begin by doing Natilat Yadayim. Natilat Yadayim is basically the religious act that the Pharisees would engage in to wash their hands. Okay? So, the Purush was surprised that he didn't begin by doing Natilat Yadayim before the meal. However, the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Purushim, you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you are full of robbery and wickedness. Fools, didn't the one who made the outside make the inside too? Rather, give us alms, what is inside, and then everything will be clean for you." Basically, Jesus is saying, don't just wash the outside of the cup. Don't just wash the outside and the outside brim of the glass of the cup. You got to wash the inside. Because only when you wash the inside does the outside be clean as well. And I love this part. And this is basically Jesus destroying the Pharisee and Sadducee religious rituals and things that they had to do in society to make them worshipers of God. And Jesus said, ain't happening, my friend. But woe to you, Purushim, Pharisee. You pay your tithes of mint and rue and every garden herb, but you ignore justice for the love of God. You have an obligation to do these things, but without disregarding the others. Woe to you, Purushim, because you love the best seat in the synagogues and being greeted differentially in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without even knowing it. One of the experts in Torah asked him, Rabbi, by saying these things, you are insulting us also. Well, Jesus was having none of that. Yeshua said, woe to you Torah experts too then. All right, hold up. Hold up. This is Jesus dropping the mic, ladies and gentlemen. This Pharisee saying, Rabbi, by saying that, you're insulting us too. And Jesus looks at him and says, then woe to you too. Woe is right. No Pharisee, no Sadducee, no rabbi had ever been spoken to like this before. And if anybody did speak to them like this, they were surely punished or put to death. And Jesus is sitting here saying, you think that your way of life is so good? You are a religious person. You have zero relationship with the Father in heaven. Talk about the ultimate accusation in those days. Yeshua said, then woe to you experts too. You load people down with burdens they can hardly bear, and you won't lift a finger to help them. Woe to you. You build tombs in memory of the prophets, but your fathers are the ones that murdered them. Ah, ho, ho. Talk about laying it down heavy on these religious leaders with no relationship. Talk about putting them in their place. Talk about standing in front of them eye to eye and saying, I'm not no keyboard warrior, my friend. I am standing here looking you in your eye, calling you out. What are you going to do? Whoo! Jesus is on a roll here, folks. You build the memory of the prophets, but your fathers are the ones that murdered them. Thus you testify that you completely approve of what your fathers did. They did the killing, you did the building. Bro. They did the killing, You did the building. Now, today, people would say, Jesus, you're being a bigot. You're not being respectful of somebody else's faith or their religion. Nope. I'm not. Not at all. Then woe to you too, you liars, you thieves, you blasphemers, you murderers. Jesus was honest. He had respect, but he was honest to the hypocrites. And he was honest to the people that were destroying a relationship with God by being these holy and elite religious leaders. Jesus was a radical. Amen, Carla. Man, do I love this. This right here is the Holy Spirit speaking to me today. Let me tell you that. They did the killing, you did the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send the prophets and emissaries. They will kill some and persecute others, so that on this generation will fall the responsibility for all the prophets. Blood that has been shed since the world was established. From the blood of Hevel to the blood of Zechariah, who has killed between the altar and the holy place. Yes, I tell you, the responsibility for it all will fall on this generation. Woe to you, Torah experts, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Not only did you yourselves not go in, you also have stopped those who were trying to enter. Sounds like another religion that I know about. As Yeshua left that place, the Torah teachers and the Perushim begin to oppose him bitterly and provoke him to express his views on all sorts of subjects, laying traps to catch him in something that he might say. Religion doesn't work. Now, let me give you an analogy of my own, if I can. Let me take a drink of this beautiful, wonderful Rise Up coffee as I'm looking at some of your chats, your live chats in the live chat here. Good to see some of you. Part of our prayer yesterday was for pastors to be bold and to be more concerned about offending Jesus than offending people. People, preach the truth only. Amen. Tina of $50, happy Resurrection Day. Wow, thank you so very much. We have more in here. So many more people. Cindy, a $50 donation. Miranda, a $10 donation. Chris DL, thank you all so very much. You guys are so giving. Wow. They couldn't stand that Jesus was right. Sounds like Trump too, doesn't it? Now, people go, there you go. There you go, comparing to Jesus to Trump. Nope, not doing that. I'm comparing to Jesus to people who are persecuted for truth. That's what I'm doing. Just like yesterday when somebody said, you shouldn't belittle gays. I told them, I don't belittle gays, I belittle gay. There's a difference. But for those who embrace it, those who love it, those who spread it, those who pass it around like a sickness, I will call out and say, that is wrong. But Jeremy, you're not being respectful. I don't have to be respectful of that kind of blasphemy. I don't have to be. Not towards the act. Maybe towards the person, yes, because God loves all people, 100%. But let's face it, we're in a real world where people in the flesh embrace these things. So yes, you have to direct it at them. We don't live in a fantasy world here, people. Wake up and get over it. Jesus didn't live in a fantasy world. He said it how it needed to be said. And he did not care if it hurt people's feelings because he was preaching the message and the word and the commands of God. Now, date night. How many people whether you're married now or whether you used to be married, or maybe your spouse has passed on. How many? Wow, Carla, $100. You guys, I did not expect any of this today. Thank you for all these donations. This really helps our company a lot, you guys. It really does. Okay? All right, now, how many of you had date night with your wives or your husbands? How many of you had a night in the month or in the week that you and your spouse or your loved one had just for yourselves? And no matter what, you guys stayed true to that. How many of you? Let's pull up the Rumble chat here. I'd love to see if anybody had a date night. This is a very interesting analogy here. Amanda says, this is the best show ever. I agree. Very much. Now, I know you guys are a little bit behind. There says Ethich, yes. I know the Rumble chat is a little jacked up here lately. And no date night. Wow. Yeah, date night's important. My wife and I try to have it. Majogo had her hand up. We have date weekends, said KC22. Okay, that's great. Nancy says, I do. We don't have a date night nearly often enough. Neither do me and my wife. We got to get back to that. We do a date night, no phones, said Jennifer. Wow. T. Mitchell, yes, my husband does it for us. Date night. Kitten said, I enjoyed them. T. Greenwalt says, 22 years and still have date night. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, think of this, ladies and gentlemen. Those who do date night no matter what, I guess you would say that you do them religiously, right? All right. If you do something all the time, you do something religiously. No matter what, you do that one thing. Pray before eating. You do that religiously. That means you are doing that for a certain thing, at a certain time, all the time, continuously, religiously. Amen? So let's say this. 22 years I saw somebody say they've been doing date night. Okay, 22 years you've been doing date night religiously, right? You and your spouse, date night. Well, see, that date night only works because of the relationship. See where I'm getting with this? That date night that you have with your wife, it's that you do religiously for 22 years, I saw someone say, that only works in repetition if you have the relationship. The relationship leads to the religious act. You are practicing something religiously because you have the relationship. But what happens the moment that that relationship isn't part of the religion? Then you have what they call, what you call an empty religion, which most people have. So now, 22 years going to dinner together, having this date night together, 22 years, you're doing something religiously. Actually, people actually use the word religious more when they're speaking of something repetitive than they do of something with faith, right? In the world today. So the minute you go to dinner and your spouse is not with you, you are now practicing this religious event without the relationship, which makes your religious event or your religion empty because there's no relationship first. Think of it like this. How many people do you know go to church on Sunday, but then Monday through Saturday act completely different than you see them act on Saturdays or on Sundays? How many people put on that church smile, go to church, Yes, oh yes, pray this, do that, live this way, amen, hallelujah, I'll raise a hallelujah. And they're there singing the songs, and they're there clapping, woo, God, Jesus. And then Monday, fornication, lusting, not respecting your wife, not respecting your husband, not respecting your parents, making a false god, making an image or a graven image of God that is not God, making a nice little cuddly god, as Ray Comfort says, but not really God. And you do that Monday, you do that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All of a sudden, Sunday, you come back, I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And then Monday, back to being a ratchet. Empty religion. Now, I'm not saying Monday through Saturday you're not going to sin. And I'm not saying Monday through Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to have some issues and some troubles and make some bad decisions. That's not what I'm talking about. The effort. The effort is what I'm talking about. God knows where your heart is. God knows what you feel in here. God knows what you mean. God knows that if you are seeking him out, then he will make himself known to you. There's not a day that goes by that you're not a sinner. So, Sky says, Jeremy, preach it. Thank you very much. I think we are all Pharisees to some degree or any given day, but we shouldn't be. So, ladies and gentlemen, religion doesn't work unless you have the relationship first. Then you can practice religious events. Then you can do certain things every day for God. I know a lot of Christians who still practice Jewish holidays, because God never said not to. He never said you had to, but he never said not to. So they do. And do you know why it's okay? Because they have a relationship with Christ. Religion is okay if you have a relationship first. If you have no relationship first, religion is dead. Religion is empty. There's nothing to it. It's like it's fake. It doesn't matter. It's not real. It's an illusion. And that is the difference between the Christian and everyone else. Right there. That is the difference between the Christian and every other religion out there. Splendor says, church packed on Christmas Eve and Easter and less than half the rest of the year. Go figure. Exactly my point. I raise a hallelujah only twice a year. That's not a relationship. That's religion. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoyed that today. Because now I'm wondering, are you able to feel comfort? A lot of people said that they're having an anxious, hard time lately. Are you able to feel comfort? Are you able to feel comfort? If you are, we call that comfortable, comfortable. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we should all get a little bit comfortable at this moment, because it is time for, you guessed it, Comfort Fridays. Here is Ray Comfort in his new video. Well, it was put out a few days ago. Enjoy.
I've thought ahead, right? All I gotta do is repent right before I die. I guess I'm just willing to roll those dice. You know what I mean? It seems like good odds. You put the money in the basket and you repent the sins and then you go to hell. I said, no. That's how it works. Man, sounds like I better start praying fast and get to church ASAP.
I just asked you if you're dressed for Halloween and you said, no, this is how you normally dress. So you're an atheist, is that right?
I mean, I don't put that label, but I suppose you could put that label.
An atheist believes the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything.
I don't necessarily believe that, right?
Your makeup?
Yeah.
You do that every day?
Not every day, just when I kind of feel like it.
What's going to happen to you after you die?
I'm not sure. I think about it a lot, though.
And no one really has this answer. I'm not saying these gentlemen with science have the answer and their answer is correct, but I think that in the overall scheme of things, everyone who's walking around trying to explain what they can't understand are all wrong. Have you ever played telephone as a child?
You brought up some good points, so let me answer them one at a time so we don't lose them. Sure. You can't say nobody knows because you don't know what 8 billion people on the earth know and don't know. All you can do is say, perhaps there's someone out there I've never met that does know if there's an afterlife. And also the telephone game, that's when someone says something and passes a message on to someone else and it changes.
I've been playing telephone for thousands of years and you guys believe in the original message.
The answer to that is if the person who gave the original message follows it with each person and makes sure it doesn't change. And that's what God's done with his word. It hasn't changed over 2,000 years.
Personally, I feel that, you know, the Lord will choose to take me into his hands because obviously we've all done things that we are not proud of.
Have you been born again?
I'm not sure.
You know what that means?
No, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you're born again, you're not going to enter heaven. Mm-hmm. He said it three times. He said, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. So we better make sure you're born again because I want to see you in heaven. Mm-hmm. Ever read the Bible?
I mean, I've read it, right? But I'm just like...
Did you used to go to church?
I didn't go to church, right? Because, see, when I was a kid, right, it was this whole scandal with these Catholic priests. We still not going over there.
Bible prophecy is proof the scriptures are God's word. In the book of Ezekiel, it names the nations that will attack Israel in the last days. It actually names them 2,500 years ago. I've written a book on the subject. That shows the Bible's the word of God and that its promise of everlasting life is true. Noah, can I move away from your intellect? That's what we've been addressing. I'd like to speak to your conscience. Is that okay?
Yeah, whatever you like to do, boss.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yeah, I do think I'm a good person morally.
How many lies have you told in your life?
I'm sure I've told some lies, right?
Ever stolen something, even if it's small?
Of course.
Okay. Ever used God's name in vain? We're looking at the Ten Commandments.
I'm sure I have. I'm sure I've done all these things.
You love your mum?
I do love my mom.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word? Most people would never use their mother's name as a cuss word because they respect her. But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word. No one in history except Jesus Christ has had his name used in place of a cuss word. And that shows that we're in a place of hostility towards God, just as the Bible says. It's called blasphemy, Noah, very serious. One to go, and I appreciate your honesty. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Of course I've done these things.
You had sex before marriage?
I mean, who hasn't in this day and age, sir?
Okay, here is a quick summation of your court case on judgment, Dana. Noah, you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, self-righteous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on judgment day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, we've looked at four, you're going to be innocent or guilty.
I would be guilty on Judgment Day.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Does that concern you?
Yeah, actually.
It horrifies me. I've just met you, but I care about you.
You know what, sir? I've thought about this before, right? Clearly, I'll be guilty, right? But I've thought ahead, right? All I gotta do is repent right before I die.
If you think you can repent at the last minute, what say God kills you just before you repent, like he killed a man in Genesis 38, and it says, therefore the Lord killed him. God killed a husband and wife because they told one lie in the book of Acts.
I mean, you know what? That is a possibility, right? But I mean, I guess I'm just willing to roll those dice. You know what I mean? It seems like good odds.
Ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
I mean, no.
Yeah, it's very famous. It's saying God is paying you in death for your sins, like a judge who looks at a criminal who thinks lightly of murder. He says, judge, I'm really a good person, even though I've committed murder. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what's due to you. And no, a sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. You're waiting to be executed. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. And if you're guilty on Judgment Day, you'll end up in hell, and that breaks my heart.
I'm hearing what you're saying right now. Do you think there's like a place where I go and just sort of pray and repent my sins and then pay them money on a weekly basis? You put the money in the basket and you repent the sins and then you go to hell. No. That's how it works.
No, that's Catholicism. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. And the reason you'll be without excuse on Judgment Day is that God gave you a conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge. Every time you fornicate, lie, steal, blaspheme, commit adultery, you do it with knowledge that it's wrong. God's given light to every man and you're going to be without excuse on that day. And that breaks my heart. Noah, I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. That's a horrible thought. You're a human being, you're not a dog.
Now, pretty bad.
What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? God did something amazing.
He died for us.
How can that help you? You're in a dilemma. You're heading for hell. You're under God's wrath. How can the death of Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago...
That's a tough question. No one's really ever asked me that. I wouldn't know how to answer it.
Man, lie to me, sir.
You actually know, but because you don't understand it, you don't value it. Have you heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
I've heard of such things. But you know what? It is a lot of debate about this Jesus dying on the cross thing. I believe in a black Jesus, right? Do you believe in the Jesus being black or white? Like in your house, right? The pictures you have of Jesus, do you have a black Jesus there or a white Jesus?
Brown Jesus. He's Jewish. And no one should have pictures of Jesus because there was no photographers around at those times. All the paintings are just dumb. So just forget about those and let's go to what I was going to tell you. Almost everybody knows that Jesus died on the cross, but they don't know this. And Noah, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's why he said it is finished just before he died. He was saying paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone else pays those fines. He'll say you're guilty, but someone's paid your fine, you're out of here. And it's legal for him to let you go. God can legally take the death sentence off you because Jesus paid the fine in full on that cross and then rose from the dead and defeated death. And if you'll simply repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, turning to a parachute can't save you, but putting your faith in it will save you if you trust in that parachute. Or if you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute? Well, let me help you out. You don't want to die. That's why.
Yeah, obviously, right?
And your motivation is fear. And that fear is your friend. It's not your enemy because it's doing you a great favor. It's making you put a parachute on. And Sheila, because I care about you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you a little scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you mean business with God, and it'll drive you to the foot of the cross where you'll find everlasting life. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Man, sounds like I better start praying fast and get to church ASAP.
Well, no, just get on your knees and ask God to forgive your sins. That's what you need to do. Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am.
You could die tonight in your sleep. Man. So please think about it. I just read an article last night saying there's a huge increase in cancer among young people. And medical science doesn't know what to do about it. They don't know what's causing it. So
vaccine.
You could be swallowed by death. 150,000 people die every 24 hours. This is deadly serious because this is where you're going to spend eternity.
Come on, man. Sounds serious, you know?
Can I give you a book I've written called Volatile?
You're one of those guys that ask for some kind of donations afterwards?
No. I'm going to give you two $5 In-N-Out cards and two books. One's called Scientific Facts in the Bible, and the other one is the Prophecy Book. Let me get them for you, and there's no charge. There's no ulterior motive. It's just that I care about you, okay?
I'm skeptical, but okay.
Is this that tie into the current war going on?
Yes. Yeah, we're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes, and it shows the Bible is credible. It's worthy of a second look because it promises everlasting life.
What is your opinion on the war? Who would you say the bad guys are?
God says he's for the Jews, and he's going to protect them from nations that will come down to destroy Israel in the latter days. You know, nice to meet you, Noah.
Yes, sir, man. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, man.
You going to think about what we talked about?
Definitely. It's a real, world changer.
So when are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus?
Well, there's always now. It's better now than never.
Yeah, well, you may not have tomorrow. Can I pray with you?
Yeah.
Father, thank you for Sheila. I thank you that you have brought her here today, and we've met because it's been in your will. You take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You're not willing any should perish. And I pray today she'll catch a glimpse of her own sinfulness in your eyes and find a place of true sorrow for sin. And she'll catch a glimpse of your great love expressed through that cross. And this day may she be born again with a new heart which loves righteousness and pass from death to life, all because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have a Bible at home?
I do.
You do? Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Sure.
Okay, let me grab it for you. Real quick.
See, ladies and gentlemen, there is, when you evangelize like Ray Comfort does, his goal is not to convert. His goal is not to save. His goal is not to get them to say, oh, you're right, I'm a Christian now. That's not Ray's goal. Ray's goal is to plant seeds for God to water. Now, you know that saying that we talk about here on earth all the time? The grass isn't greener on the other side. I can tell you this. With God, it is. You know how they say, the grass is greener where you water it? No. The grass is greener where God waters it. And when you talk about taking that step into following Jesus and being a real Christian, let me tell you this. The grass is very much greener on the other side. When you choose to get off that fence that the devil owns and come over to this side where the grass seems to be greener, the grass is greener, the streets are golder, and in the hills are flowing with milk and honey. So let me just tell you one more time. The grass is definitely greener on this side of the fence than it is anywhere else. Because we're not watering it, God is. So when you evangelize, don't go out there trying to prove a point or to save or to convert. Go out there to plant seeds by speaking the word of God. You can mix in a little bit of your word in order to break down barriers and build trust to talk to somebody. But the word must be spoken somewhere in that conversation. Because if it's not, you're doing everybody a massive disservice. All right? Now, I'd like to take out, always, just like church, I'd like to take you out the same way I brought
this
you in.
Is the reason why,
and not with a commercial. You know, that's one thing I can't wait until Rumble gets a little bit bigger. So all these great bands have their music on Rumble, right? Yeah, I agree, Amanda. I agree. All right, let's read a little bit on the way out. Steadfast and sure on this Good Friday. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Priscilla Owens was a school teacher in Baltimore, Maryland, and a faithful church worker. As time allowed, she also composed Christian hymns. We know her as the author of the song, Will Your Anchor Hold? The chorus says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Owens also wrote the popular hymn that says, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus himself is the only hope for the future of the world, for the future of the nation of Israel, and for those who compromise the final generations of history. He's also our only hope today. The Bible says, nor is the salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Here's the great thing. When we hear the joyful sound of Jesus calling to us, we discover we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows while the billows roll. Don't fear the billows today. Rejoice in the blessings. Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm, and deep in the Savior's love. Ladies and gentlemen, it is finished. This show is finished, and Jesus' message and God's will was finished on this Friday so many years ago. So I want you to smile today. I want you to go into this weekend with joy, and I want you to watch the Passion of the Christ if you can. Because we watch it every year during this time, and it always brings the seriousness back to everything. God bless each and every one of you. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours right here of Live from America. I'll see you then. Enjoy your morning. Enjoy your Rise Up coffee. It is finished. See you later, folks.